Will you turn in your Bible with me, please, to Matthew 28? Matthew 28. My name is Stephen. I'm so blessed to be the pastor here and to co-labor alongside you as we serve Jesus. He is the risen King and Lord of Lords. What a great King we have in Jesus. Amen? It's great. In Matthew 28, we are seeing Jesus give the Great Commission. And the Great Commission is his commission to his disciples, to the newly formed church, that they should go out and make disciples. Discipleship and disciples are kind of a lost art and a lost term in our culture, I would say, nowadays in general. And so the ladies have just finished a fantastic T2D time of discipleship together. It is becoming very much a lost art to actually get together and have a focused time to go through some material to help each other grow. And so we are adamant on growing in Jesus Christ, that we would know him, serve him, love him, hear from him. And the way that the Lord has given us that we can grow, one of the primary means, of course reading our Bible, of course prayer, but is not actually podcasts. I know that sounds surprising. Podcasts are wonderful. I like podcasts. You should listen to them. It's great. It's not online things that are distant from everybody, which are great. Like, learning is fantastic. But Jesus told us that we are to make disciples, and that requires a relationship together in which we come together and we follow somebody. A disciple is a person who is teaching another how to follow Jesus. It's kind of like mentorship. In our culture, we know that pretty well. Can you mentor me so I can grow into the things that you're good at doing? Well, when we talk about discipleship, Jesus didn't say, go into all the world and just have Bible studies. Now, Bible studies are wonderful. Hear me out. He didn't say, go into the world and just do charity work, which is wonderful. He said, go make disciples. When you make disciples, we teach people about Jesus. We see them baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as we're about to read. And we show them and teach them by modeling in our lives and by opening the Word with them so that they can understand how are they to live and do everything that Jesus taught us to do. And so that requires a relationship together. It requires time together. It requires living life together. This is one of the interesting things I'll tell you for all of you young people out there. Online education is wonderful. It's great. It's really nice, especially when you can listen to lectures of professors like Double Speed. Yeah, I see some of you. I know what you know. It's helpful sometimes. But one of the things that's happening in our culture is, whereas colleges or vo-tech schools or whatever kind of training that you do after high school used to be rooted in a lot of relationships. So you went to a school, you got to know professors, and then you know that old saying, like, it's all about who you know? Well, you knew professors and you knew each other because there were people that were going through a program with you. Nowadays, that's been replaced by online networking. And there's a danger there if you try to apply that to your spiritual life, because God did not call us to make disciples that are just online. Now, online's wonderful. Hear what I'm saying. Technology's great. It's very helpful. But if that's all we ever get to, then we're not actually experiencing the life and the body that God has called us to be able to walk together, to demonstrate his kingdom, and to see Jesus glorified in every area of our life. Yeah. Why am I saying that? Because when you're walking together and you're actually together with other people, the Lord will bring things out of your life that you did not want shared. You can hide it online. You can kind of be whoever you want online. But then when you're sitting with somebody at Bread Co., and you're having a conversation, and they look you right in the eye, and they say, hey, how is this going in your life? And you're like, that's from the Lord, uh-oh. Because it's the thing. Now, this is what Jesus told us to do. That's discipleship. And we don't abandon people and say, well, sorry for you, good luck with that, here's an online course. Instead, we walk together in discipleship to help people come to Jesus, because we have a chief shepherd. And so our job is to bring the lambs to the shepherd, that he might bring healing and restoration and grace. Does that make sense? Everybody's looking at me very... Okay, so if I invite you to Bread Co., it's going to be fine. There's no hidden agenda. I'll tell you if there's something like, hey, I want to talk to you about this. Anyway, okay, here we go. Matthew 28, let's read what it says. We're going to start reading together. We're going to start reading together at verse 16. Matthew 28, verse 16. It says this. Now the 11 disciples, where's the 12th disciple? It's Judas, right? So he's gone. When the 11 disciples went to Galilee and to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them, when they saw him, that's Jesus, they worshiped him. But, read those next words with me. Some doubted. Some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, this is an important phrase. We've talked about this before. But when Jesus says, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age, he's parroting back what God had told Joshua going into the promised land. I'm with you. I won't leave you or forsake you. And so Joshua going to the promised land, now the disciples are being led by Jesus, even though he's not physically with us here. Where is he physically? Is he still in a body? Where is he? He's in heaven, seated at the right hand. He's ruling and reigning. He's resurrected. He sent his Holy Spirit to us. And we have a commission to do, to proclaim his word and to disciple people. But I pointed out to you that some doubted because, especially when we talk about going out into the world, we call that evangelism, telling other people about Jesus. A lot of times, the first thought that comes into our head is not, I want to share everything that Jesus has told me with you. The first thought usually is, well, I'm not an accredited Bible teacher. Or, I haven't studied every book so well that I can answer every question. Or, what if they give this question? I'm not really sure about it. And I'm telling you this because Jesus did not say to you that you are to go in the world and be Bible professors. Now, do you need to know the Bible? Yes, absolutely. It's the word of God, sharper than a two-edged sword. It cuts between marrow and joint. It infiltrates our heart. The Lord uses his word to change people. We need to know his word. But sometimes we get hung up because we assume that we need to be like an online course to people. Instead of entering into relationship and discipling them and showing them who Jesus is and how we walk forward. So here's an example. Jesus told the disciples, especially Peter and James and John, originally they had a profession of being fishermen, right? When Jesus called them, he called them to be fishers of men. So David gave us a wonderful illustration this morning of how sin is like a hook, and that's true. And it's a hook that leads to death. But also, I want to just take that in your mind and put that in the sin category. Jesus told the people they were going to be fishers of men. Yes? When that happens and people go out to fish, do you catch a fish every time you throw the line in the water? But notice how when we talk to somebody about Jesus, if it doesn't go exactly the way we thought, we get so disappointed, sometimes it makes us not want to tell people anymore. Sometimes when we go out to fish, when you're fishing, are you going to have a perfect cast and everything's going to go just right? No. Have you ever been, who's never been fishing before? A couple people, listen, that's okay. It's great and terrible at the same time. Okay. When you're fishing, though, you cast a line in with some bait, you try to get the fish. One time I was fishing with my brother David, and we're casting off this little dock, and we're fishing together, and I'm catching nothing, which is normal. My son Benjamin caught something. Zion caught like 15 things. We're having a great time. And then David casts in. He's like, I'm going to get one. And he pulls out this fish, and he didn't even realize he had it. You know, sometimes you catch a fish that you don't even realize it's on the line. And this fish came out of the water, and I kid you not, the hook was stuck in the fish's side. He didn't even bite it. Somehow he just managed to grab this fish. Could you imagine swimming along, and you're like, I'm a fish. You're just a bass having a great day. And you're just swimming along, and all of a sudden this shiny thing just grabs you and starts pulling you. That's what happened to this fish. No bait, no worm, no nothing, just got him. But I'm telling you this because when Jesus Christ tells us to go and make disciples, we assume that we have to have the perfect bait, the perfect hook, the perfect everything. But the reality is that Jesus Christ is the Savior. And he's the one. And if he wants to grab that fish on the side, he will grab it on the side. And sometimes you're going to have people on the line, fishers of men, fishers of women, that you're reeling in. You don't even realize it because they didn't take the bait. The worm and the hook is just stuck to their side because the Lord said, I'm getting that one. Because he's the one who oversees salvation. But he uses the mechanism of the church because he commanded us to do it. So what a joy that we get to participate with God and go out. You ever been fishing with your dad? Some of you have never fished. But if you weren't fishing with your dad, do you ever have your dad actually get the... He basically caught the whole fish, right? But in the last moments, hands you the reel and you get to bring in the fish. And then what do you say? Like, Mom, I caught a fish. But Dad did all the work. He even got the net for you and he even got the hook out. He even helped you hold it. But we get to participate with God as he's the one who's catching the people and he's changing them and we're bringing them to him. And then when you're at Breadco and something comes up and you're like, I have no idea what to say. I better go to an online course. Instead, say, Lord, I have no idea what to say. Will you come here? Because he will. And then he intervenes and he changes. And now you just take that lamb and you're like, Lord, we're dealing with this and I don't know what to say, but you're the healer, so we're coming to you. Now the relationship has changed because you're not the online course instructor. You're the one walking hand in hand with somebody to the Savior who's the one who actually heals them. And that's exciting. It's super exciting because that's what we've been called to do. And then we teach them everything. And then sometimes you get kind of to the end of what you can teach and you're like, let me introduce you to Rex Chin. He knows a lot of stuff. Let's meet with him. You go talk to him. See, discipleship, it's not that you have to fix everybody's life. Discipleship means you trust the Lord. You serve him. You look for what he's doing. You follow him and you bring everybody you can along with you. That's discipleship. But we get concerned because we're not... My YouTube's not big enough. I haven't listened to enough podcasts today. I'm not sure. And then we kind of fall apart. And I'm saying don't miss out on what Jesus has actually told us to do. Because he really does want all of us to engage in this mission. And so don't be deceived that this is not for you. Because now you might catch little fish. You might catch big fish. I don't know. They're going to be fish. It's exciting. Praise the Lord. This is what he's helping us with. And the 11 come to him. They come to Jesus. They see him. They worship. And some doubted. And God still used them. Didn't he? And so isn't it great that the example we have in Scripture of those original fishers of men, those original disciples, they were not perfect. They hadn't completed all the online courses. In fact, they saw the resurrected Jesus in the flesh and still had doubts. And yet the Lord helped them. How did he help them? Sent them his Holy Spirit, empowered them, told them what to say, gave them the church, and they grew in it. And so now with us, if you're like, well, I still am not sure, you're in good company. Praise the Lord. But let's get excited and active about what God's called us to do so that we can honor him in everything that we do. Will you turn, please, in your Bible with me to Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 13. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. So in our study of doing evangelism, we need to be spreading the word about the Lord and fulfilling our commission because God's commissioned us to do that. We need to be bringing people along to Jesus. That's the goal. I would love for you to bring them to church. Bring your neighbors, bring your friends to church. Bringing them to church is a great place where they can hear the worship of the saints. They can see other people who are following Jesus. The Lord uses spiritual gifts amongst us to help people. All those things are good. But our goal is not just bring people to church. Our goal is bring people to Jesus and then have relationship with them as we continue walking to Jesus together. That's a good thing. And so what we're after is seeing Jesus glorified, seeing lives changed, and seeing God do great works in people. That's what we're after, those things. So we're going to look today. Last week we looked at Acts 17, and we were looking at the Apostle Paul, and he was preaching at a place called Mars Hill to the Athenian people. And he's telling them about Jesus, and he used some interesting ways of talking to them that were not very churchy. Not very churchy. For instance, if somebody got raised in church, and you use the word righteousness, they kind of know what you're talking about. If somebody was not raised in church, they were probably raised in America and our culture, and if you use the word righteous, if they're of a certain age, they think of like Marty McFly and like that's righteous, right? The slang term of like that's cool. Because righteous in our culture is not the same meaning as it is biblically. Does that make sense? So I'm saying that because we need to be winsome in the way we talk to people, because the Lord may use you to hook a fish even in the side. But now when you're talking to that fish, we need to be intelligible the way that we speak to them so they can understand how to come to Jesus. Sometimes we get so bent around using all the church words that people don't understand and they don't know what to do. Yeah? Everybody with me? Okay, so here's your goal. Ready? Be yourself. Be yourself. Talk to people like with the way that you understand things. The way that you model how you follow Jesus is your testimony. It is your word. The way that you put action to your love for Jesus, it speaks louder than the words you use. Now, your word should back that up, but the reality is our lives must reflect that God has changed us if we want to see other people changed. Okay, everybody, give me a nod. That's not a condemnation, by the way. So right now, if you're like, ooh, I'm not doing good. This whole morning, have you noticed the theme this morning? We're coming to Jesus. Even Steve started off. Your week might not be the way you thought it would be, but Jesus is on the throne. You know, the way that you deal with repentance in your own life has a far greater impact on your children and disciples than telling them about it. The fruit of repentance in your own life. If you can't ask for forgiveness or you can't receive something, there's a problem spiritually in your life. Because for us to come to Jesus, David said it today, don't come to this table unless you know that the Lord has taken that hook out of your life. But only Jesus can do that, right? So how does he do it? What do you need to do? You need to come to him and repent and say, Lord, forgive me. But if you can't receive his forgiveness and you're like, Lord, forgive me, but actually I'll do it on my own, we're not walking with Jesus. I was out one time with somebody who we would go to lunch together, a friend of mine, and I would tell him all the time, you have that game where you're like, who's going to pay for the bill? You know that game? And all the time, like, hey, let me buy you lunch. He's like, no, I don't want to owe you anything. And I was like, let me buy you lunch. No, never. I will buy lunch. I'll buy you lunch. And I was like, okay. I feel like that's a little weird. So this happened for a long time, right? Well, one day he had done something cool. I can't remember what it was, but I said, hey, man, I just want to compliment you. Like, you did a good job on that stuff. And he was like, whoa, same like buying the lunch. He's like, duh, I see what you're trying to do. No, I'm fine. And I was like, hey, brother, I'm just going to be honest with you.